Straight Talk Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
Good morning, everybody. Great to be here with you. It's not a bad day out there. Later on the show, we're going to talk to Lorna Vanderhaeg about fertility and infertility. Catherine Gibson's going to share some of her travel adventures, which she always paints such a great picture. And Chef Teresa Carl Sanders is joining us from Island Biddles. Later in the month and in June, I'm going to have on Peter Walsh. You may know him from Oprah, the Oprah Network. He does a lot of clutter clearing, and it's usually just more than your clutter. It's a lot of memories and things that you have to deal with. So that's going to be really interesting. Also, we're going to have on Brett Wilson. You may know him from Dragon's Den. Cute and smart and charming. You're agreeing, Teresa.
I am. He's cute.
Oh, he's lovely. We met him. Remember that long saga I told you about when we went to L.A. and we met him at the the Gene Simmons wedding? Anyways, yeah, he was a really neat guy. So he's going to come on. Right now he's in Africa for 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah. An entrepreneur and a man with a great
He's a manly man.
He is.
Yes.
He's got his deep pockets and he gives a lot of it away. He's a wonderful man.
Yeah, he really is. So we're going to be talking to him. But up off the top, of course, we're going to talk about food because we like that. And Teresa, I thought if people want to know, because you have so many great tips, if they want to call in, we'll take a few calls. The phone number is 250-386-1161. Corey's here and he'll get your calls. So that's 250-386-1161. Also, if you ever want to get a hold of me with ideas for the show or feedback, I'm always happy to try and track down those guests you want. And I'm at Patty, Patty at lifestylewithpattymack.com, and the website is lifestylewithpattymack. It's always hard, those things you don't actually, you know, like
you don't
know your own phone number.
If you don't say them every day, you get tied up when you're on the radio and you have to come up with it.
Yeah. Mine's easy. Knick-knack Patty Mack. You know, it's not hard. Now, you've been busy because you have the two websites, of course. If people want to get a hold of you, you have Island Vittles and then your...
And then the new one is OutlanderKitchen.com, and that's based on books by Diana Gabaldon.
And those are some wild recipes.
They're pretty funny recipes. Yeah, they go all over the map from traditional 18th century cuisine all the way up to things that I've modernized for our 21st century palates.
They're kind of funky, right? I mean, some of them are good, but... They're different. What was different about the food then?
Yeah. We ate everything. So, like, I've got a smoked pig's ear on.
Oh, my God.
But it was an April Fool's joke. Some people didn't seem to think it was an April Fool's joke, but it was. And they used a lot of animal fats, so which taste different to what we're normally used to now. So suet would be a big one, and that's beef fat. All the baking contains suet. And
is that why they died at 30 or something?
Well, you know, but my grandmother smeared... bacon drippings on her toast every...
So did mine.
And she lived till 98. Howard, my husband, is over in Wales right now celebrating his grandmother's 100th birthday. And she still eats like that. So
wow. So they ate heavy foods with a lot of fat. A
lot of animal fat, if they had it. But mostly up in Scotland, they were eating oats. And it was literally how many different ways can you put oats, water, and maybe a little bit of fat together and make it taste different? It's hard.
So it wasn't always traditional meals like meat and potatoes. It was oats for dinner?
Well, yeah. I mean, your average crofter wouldn't have had meat every day.
Yeah.
In fact, they would have had meat on special occasions only. So, or salted beef. I mean, a lot of things. Don't forget, there was no... refrigeration,
right.
No. So things were salted or packed in fat. And it's quite different than what we're used to today.
I mean, sounds like me.
The box
salted
of KD.
Packed in fat.
We just put a few more chemicals in it these days.
That's right. But, yeah. You know, we're also, we take this little bit of the meat that we want and we chuck the rest, which is so wasteful, right? We don't use stewing beef. We don't do stuff like we should with...
I mean, snout to tail is certainly something that's gotten more attention lately.
Snout to tail.
Snout to tail. And if you've ever had a pig snout, it's mighty fine if the person who knows what they're doing when they're cooking it.
Now, where would you have had that?
In a Chinese restaurant.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
See, the Chinese eat all that stuff still, and we all kind of go, ew. But chicken feet, for example, even if you don't sit there and gnaw on a chicken foot for dinner, if you bought some chicken feet and put them in a chicken stock that you were making, you'd have the thickest, most gelatinous, flavorful chicken stock you've ever eaten.
Yeah, I think if we knew what we were, or didn't know what we were eating and enjoyed it, it wouldn't matter. But when we hear the words, we go, ew.
I think so. And we're used to walking around a meat department these days with very little bone and very little skin even. I mean, so...
And most people say with chicken or stuff, you need the bone and the skin to make it taste better, even if you're going to take it off later to cook with it.
That's what I would say. The other thing is, even if you're not going to cook with it, you can always remove the meat from the bone, and then you've got bones for stock later. They're tricking us, and they're not selling us the bones. And the bones are really probably, they've got some of the nicest, best nutrition you can have in there. If you're cooking stock and drinking it, Jewish grandmothers are right. Chicken soup will heal anything.
I think you're right. And I think we've gotten too soft, haven't we? You know,
you're talking to an island girl that will happily butcher a deer if you brought it to me. I couldn't kill it, but I could butcher it. So I think we're totally soft. It drives me crazy. I quite often, if you ever see me in the grocery store, you'll see me muttering, "Where are the bones?" These animals had bones. I'd love to know where they went.
That's really interesting. And you've got some other recipes on your Island Vittles. This beef recipe from Mexico looks really interesting. That's kind of like the pulled pork idea.
It's like a
only
pulled
with
pork.
And I never even thought of that as being the same kind of – because I went through a pulled pork phase. It was like I had to go on a detox.
I know.
I mean,
I know.
It's so addictive.
A detox with a treadmill. The barbacoa beef is beautiful because it's, again, it's a slow-cooked – cheap cut of meat. It's a bottom round. That's probably one of the more inexpensive cuts you can find in the store. I made the recipe up. It's not necessarily authentically Mexican, but there were a few things that I had in the cupboard that I thought belonged in there. And chipotle peppers are really the key to give it some smokiness. But other than that, you're just braising beef in the oven.
Slowly. Could that be done in the slow cooker too?
Or? It could definitely be done in the slow cooker. The woman who gave me the inspiration for the recipe has done both, and she said for some reason it always tastes better out of the oven, in a cast iron pan out of the oven. And I just suppose that...
She was right.
I bet she's right, yeah. I mean, I love slow cookers. I do. I use them all the time, but there are some
things...
But
a slight difference in flavor.
Yeah.
And chipotle pepper, is that a dry or is that a...
That's a jalapeno pepper that's been smoked, and then it's packed in an adobo sauce, and that's that smoky tomato-y sauce.
Do you use that sauce
and
too?
And you use a little bit of the sauce in there too.
Now, Is it really spicy? Because I've seen that with Bobby Filet and these people, and I've never known how to use those.
You have to, the great thing about chipotle is you can't taste a dried pepper, but you can taste this. So stick your finger in there, put it in your mouth, see what you think. I like spice, but you can always dial it back a bit. You don't have to use as much spice as I call for in the
recipe.
And
if you use too much, what would you use to – would you use like agave? What would you use to kind of
counterbalance
that sugar?
Sugar or agave. I mean, agave would be an expensive fix, but I would just probably throw a tablespoon of sugar in there.
And that's always a way, so you can always kind of fix things a little bit with
– You can fix things with salt as well, but you have to be careful about the salt, the heat. But when I was growing up in Vancouver, we used to go to a Mexican restaurant called Primo's, and it was run by Primo Villanueva.
That place just off Granville.
Yeah, and it's
that was
still there.
Is it? That was the best.
It's still there. And the Carl family name is well known there. We used to eat there at least twice a week as growing up. And salt was always what they told us to use. Just sprinkle a little bit of salt and then put it on your tongue, and that will take away any scorching heat. Milk does the same thing.
That's very good, because it could get kind of scary. So my dad was in Mexico once and had a pepper they thought he was going to check out.
Oh, yeah. No, those people and their peppers and their I'm so macho I can put the pepper in my mouth.
Don't do it. Because it is dangerous. I mean, those are...
I think it is dangerous. I mean, certainly you'll be sweating for hours.
Yeah.
Talk about detox, actually.
No kidding. When we come back, we're going to talk some more with Teresa about some great recipes. Make sure you call in 250-386-1161 if you want to know some tips for cooking a great meal tonight.
First with traffic, tie-ups, closures, ferry waits. The information that can make or break your commute. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Mercedes-Benz Dynamic 2012 SLK. To know it is to love it. The cockpit is loaded with innovation like an out-of-this-world navigation system, AirScarf neck-level heating, optional magic sky control, a retractable roof that transforms the SLK into a roadster in 20 seconds, and a wealth of safety features keeps you securely in the fast lane. 3-Point Motors on Governmented Hillside has the Mercedes-Benz 2012 SLK. To see it is to want it.
Shop Safeway and take advantage of all the low everyday prices. Plus, you'll still find great club card savings like frozen seasoned chicken breasts. They're boneless and sold in the 4-kilogram boxes at just $2.99 a pound. In the produce department, fresh corn on the cob is club priced at 10 cobs for $5. And shop Safeway for your chance to win one of two grand prizes of 100,000 Air Miles reward miles, plus 14 daily prizes of 10,000 Air Miles. Visit Safeway.ca for details. That's ingredients for life. Safeway.
Sick of low interest on your hard-earned money? Join thousands of happy Canadians and enjoy regular income, steady growth, and over 5% on cash, RRSP, and TFSA investments backed by valuable Canadian real estate. Call FiscGuard today, 250-382-9255. Local people, 5% plus on your money. Visit FiscGuard on Douglas near Uptown Mall or online at FiscGuard.com.
Whatever our age, our basic needs never change. We need a safe, comfortable home, the warmth of a helping hand, the knowledge that we're cared for and respected. You can help by donating to the Greater Victoria Elder Care Foundation's 3Rs campaign. Reach out, respect, renew. Your gift will help renew care equipment and facilities, reach out to the community, and protect the respect our elders deserve. To donate, call 370-5664, online at gvef.org.
We are back. We have Chef Therese Carl Sanders here. And tell us about Island Life. What island are you on again?
I'm on Pender Island, which is just next door to Salt Spring.
And, of course, your husband, I'm a realtor, and your husband sells real estate.
Howard Sanders sells real estate on Pender Island, and he's currently in Wales. He's off for a week, so that's nice for him. And I've got the car today, which is a nice surprise for me.
So you're kind of batching it, are you?
Yes.
You and the pup?
Me and popcorn and white wine for dinner.
Sometimes it's nice to have a break, isn't it?
It's really nice to not have to cook anything. I went down to the pub, had 2-for-1 pizza last night. I've got enough pizza to last me through until at least tonight, so it's good.
It's
terrible.
The small things in life that make you happy, isn't it?
Sometimes I write as well. I mean, I cook, but then I write. And they're two very different activities. And one is really go, go, go. And the other is, you know, you have to sit there for an hour and let your mind settle down. So when I don't have to cook, I find I get more writing done.
And you do a lot of writing. Island Bills is a great website. If you haven't been to it yet, make sure you check it out. Teresa has some excellent recipes. And then the other website, you know, there is a book in the making, and hopefully
there's
that's going to happen.
Hopefully on the go.
Yeah, yep, and it's going to be really exciting because, you know, we've worked really hard at this website to research these recipes.
We have, and I've got actually, I'm just going to put a shout out to some friends from all over the world today. I sent business cards for Outlander Kitchen to them, and they are literally in bookstores all over the world right now as we speak, stuffing them into Diana's books in a guerrilla marketing campaign.
I love it.
I spent the 5 minutes in Chapters in downtown Victoria this morning. Don't tell them. stuffing my cards into all of their Diana Gabaldon books. And it was fun. And it's really been a really amazing experience with all these women helping me.
Well, from what I can see, though, people that love that series, I know my friend Debbie did, that you love it and that would really appeal to you because
they're
like a cult.
They're very passionate.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Cult. Tolkien-esque would be another way, yeah. You know, that kind of following. We've seen it a couple of other places, like The Hunger Games but it's a more teenage audience. But they're certainly wild for books. It's so wonderful that if you find a story that really resonates with you, you could read Diana's Outlander series over and over and over. And in fact, I have. And there's millions of women that have and get something new out of it every time. It's an amazing story.
And you still like it?
I still like it, and I work with it every day, which can turn you off things pretty sometimes, and I haven't been turned off of it. In fact, I just bought the audiobooks.
Love audiobooks. How do you find the inspiration every day to get up and commit to doing all this writing and everything when you live on this beautiful island and there's all these things you could do? How do you commit to kind of
The living where we do goes hand in hand with writing. There's a lot of writers on Pender. I'm one that needs to open – I describe it as opening the back door of my brain and letting things start to flow in, and that takes quiet time. And a lot of us don't have any quiet time anymore. There's Facebook, there's all sorts of things, and I find those things the biggest distractions of all to turn that stuff off so that my brain can relax. And when your brain relaxes, really funny, creative things happen.
I think that's very true. It's great to be on and network and do all that stuff, but you do need downtime to be with yourself and just kind of check in once in a while and see what it is you want.
Absolutely. Get a dog, because the dog gets you out and walking, and that's what I do. I have to go out for a walk with the dog twice a day, and I thank him every day.
Me too. There's nothing like seeing your dog running towards you and that smile on their face, right? It literally goes up a little bit, right?
They're happy. And he, yeah, ours has a grin, definitely. So it's a great way to make sure that I get out and walk. And that's where most of my ideas come, in the middle of the woods with the dog.
And you have some great ideas. What I want to talk about was, first of all, a recipe for tonight, which I think we'll go over maybe the halibut with the yam fries, because that sounds really good. But your sauce, you said you can't believe you haven't told people about your sauce. My friend Dave is a saucier, and he's going to come on in a few weeks to talk about that.
Saucier is the nicest position
yes,
in the
because
kitchen.
Yes, because, you know, sauces are good.
Some people
don't care
likes
about them.
Sauce.
I love sauce. Peanut sauce.
Peanut sauce, and it's a really simple peanut sauce. It's peanut butter and some coconut milk. And the coconut milk gives it sweetness, and it gives it that Asian sort of Thai flavor. I've got it paired on Island Vittles with a little recipe that I came up with called Sesame Nori Popcorn Chicken. And it's just like what you would get from KFC, except it doesn't have the MSG in it.
Now, is that complicated? Because I was looking at that recipe. There's quite a few steps to that.
It looks much more complicated than it is, which is actually the problem with quite a few of my recipes. The number of ingredients, I don't think, is particularly big, as long as you have a package of nori, which is the seaweed that they roll sushi in, and some sesame seeds. It's not particularly complicated. There's a few steps, but, you know, if you didn't want to fry the chicken, you could always put it in the oven and bake it.
And it tastes like KFC?
It doesn't taste like KFC, but it's highly seasoned, slightly Japanese-y tasting chicken that you can eat with your fingers and pop in your mouth.
Yum.
And it's fried and it's crispy and it's really like crazy.
There's nothing
we
wrong with that.
We eat way too much of it. Yeah, no. You know, one chicken breast each is not enough. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Oh, that sounds good. Toad in the hole. Now, I grew up with this. My mom was English. So,
oh, okay.
But, so I see you do it with a different way, where you had your
I
picture that you thought was a little bit risque. Go on Island Vittles, you'll see it. But, you know, she did the sheet thing, so
yes.
It was the whole thing. You pop your sausages. So it's basically sausages with Yorkshire pudding.
That's exactly what
and
it is.
And you put in something in your Yorkshire pudding that I hadn't seen before.
Mustard powder.
What's
and that's only
that?
In Toad in the Hole.
Oh.
I use my mother's Yorkshire pudding recipe because she perfected it
too.
Over like 30 years. It took her 30 years to get it right. And I just put some mustard powder in it because mustard goes nicely with sausages.
Oh, so it's just a little hint
a little
of a flavor.
Yeah. I wouldn't put it in normal Yorkshire puddings, but I put it in when I make Toad in the Hole.
And Toad in the Hole is a really great comfort food. It used to be my brother's favorite. That was when he had a birthday. I want Toad in the Hole because it's just something about it, right? Bit of ketchup and Toad in the Hole.
Ketchup? I've never had it with ketchup.
Oh, haven't you? Oh, or mustard.
I bet you that's very traditional. Howard is English, my husband, and he didn't like Toad in the Hole until I made this one. That's weird. Ketchup is weird.
Is it? Everybody, well, salsa, ketchup, that's what people have out there.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And what's
the
other one?
I have an onion gravy with mine. But
that looks good. And that's a slow cooker onion
and
gravy.
And that is a slow cooker onion gravy that you can put on in the morning. And then by the time you get home, you'll have amazing caramelized onions, and the gravy takes you 5 minutes to whip up while you're doing everything else.
It's not the powdery gravy, you say?
Me and powder don't coexist in the same room together.
You're a gravy snob.
I'm a total gravy snob, and I'm a stock snob as well. I don't like powdered anything. They're not very just because flavor aside. They're terrible for you.
We've got a gravy off coming up. Our friend, the London chef, Dan Hayes, you know,
makes great
gravy.
Yep.
And you like your gravy. You know, we talked about having a gravy off. So, like, seeing who does the best gravy. Because it really is.
Wow. I bet you Chef Dan does a pretty mean gravy.
I haven't had his gravy, but
I know Hus. I've had a few sauces of his, and they're pretty crazy. They're very, very good.
So we'll have to get that together. I think a neat meal for tonight or tomorrow night, if you were wanting to cook something, a good starting point would be, like, the halibut's out right now. So the fish and the yams.
And the yams. And
in tea or something.
I poached it in tea.
Yum.
So it was a healthier meal on Island Vittles. Sometimes I tend to do a lot of frying. This one is a poached halibut or cod. It's actually cod on the on Island Vittles, only because halibut, you know, you sort of have to sell your firstborn child.
Yeah.
But cod, I was surprised how delicious it was. It was really tasty when I poached it in that tea.
A lot of people prefer cod to halibut.
They do, and I grew up preferring halibut, but now I think that my pocketbook is changing my mind.
Yeah. Halibut for the adults, kids get cod.
Exactly.
That's how it goes.
At the kids' table. And it was a play on fish and chips. And so instead of regular French fries, I braised some yams in orange juice in the oven. And I tell you, even if you don't want to do the fish, the yams are are doable any night of the week, and they're really delicious. The kids
and are they
seem
crispy?
Because
that's one thing that, you know, I've bought some and tried them. I've made some.
These are hard to get.
They're kind of crispy.
These are crispy.
Really mushy, mushy, mushy.
Yeah.
So what's the secret to doing good yam fries?
These are yam fries, but I mean, I would call them braised fries. They're really not crispy. They're sort of. I was trying to go healthy, so. I didn't have any oil in them really at all.
So that's good. So don't think you have to have that. Because some of them are really overprocessed. Now when you have them, it's kind of like, doesn't even taste like a yam anymore.
Well, yeah. I mean, in order to get a yam to crisp like that, you have to do something to it.
Okay, it's, so really it's, heavily saturated.
It's very high in starch and it's very high in sugar, which generally does lead to crispiness. But because it's so high, it burns before it crisps.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know how McCain's in particular makes those fries. They
but
coat them with
not
something.
So good.
Well, you know, McCain's is actually probably not that bad in the grand scheme of things when you look at food producers. But they're fried at some point, so they're not really all that great. And I don't know how they get them crispy. They have to have a process, a steaming. Maybe they steam them first and then they fry them. You'd have to play around.
So you cut them up, big pieces, small pieces?
Big pieces, you know, like a yam into maybe 8 wedges, and then put it in the pan. And I had a little bit of oil, olive oil in there and some orange juice and I think a garlic clove and some thyme. Check it out on islandvittles.com. It's tea, poached cod, and yam fries, I believe, is
that's
the name
right,
of the recipe.
That's right. And mac and cheese. I bet you put a lot of good cheese in your mac and cheese.
I have, I like a really sharp aged cheddar for flavor and some Parmesan, real Parmesan, not that Canadian stuff.
We just bought some. It's so good. It makes such a difference.
Oh, I don't even know what Canadian Parmesan is.
I know. Dave, our friend said, buy this. You won't regret it.
Yeah,
and it's
no.
so good to have to shave. And you put on something and you need just a tad and the flavor so intense.
And if you go to Costco or you go to the Great Canadian Wholesale Club or something like that on a regular basis, you'll find huge wedges of Parmesan for maybe a third of the cost of what you'd find it in a store.
And you may think it's expensive as an original buy,
you use
but
very
it lasts
little,
you
though.
Forever, right? It stays. You wrap
you
it
use
up.
Very, very little. Like an ounce of Parmesan is a lot of cheese. You're really going to be surprised at how little you have to use to get flavor. And it's so worth it to spend that extra money. Don't get Canadian Parmesan. It doesn't taste of anything.
I'll tell you, Hud made me his new omelet. I call it the Roadhouse Omelet. You think that's a funny title, but it looks like something. You know, you're going for a drive and you pull
Diner's
a great
drive into
Diner's
Drive.
And he put a bit of Parmesan in it, and it was fabulous. A little orange cheddar and
lovely.
A little bacon. Oh, it's so good. He makes a good omelet. A little bit of brown on it.
That sounds lovely.
Mm.
See, I would do maybe, because there's asparagus right now, an asparagus omelet with maybe a little bit of Parmesan in there and a lemon zest.
Are you listening? That sounds really good.
And that is a lovely, not too cheesy. The great thing about Parmesan is it is high in fat, but you don't have to use very much. So you can actually cut back on your calories and still have a little bit of cheesy flavor.
Okay, so go to Island Vittles tonight, right now.
Yeah.
Look up some recipes. You know, there's a million to choose from.
There's a million to choose from. And what's really great about it is there's 4 featured recipes. Those are the most recent ones I've done at the top of the page. And they're a great place to start. And there's always links at the bottom of the recipe to similar recipes. So you could actually, it's been, almost 30 months I've had that on. So there's a lot of recipes on there. Please check it out. I'd love more people to cook from there.
And it's a great website. Please check it out. And Teresa, it's always wonderful having you on because you're an easy guest. You're great and you love food. And I think that shows through your commitment to your website and to how you come on the show and talk about it.
Thank you so much for having me again. I love it.
Great to talk to you. We come back after the news. We're going to talk to Lorna Vanderhaeghe.
We at Cruise Experts Travel are part of the Cruise Connoisseur Club of Oceania Cruises. I would love to tell you about Oceania Cruises and our special offers. Baltic Cruise, 14 days from Stockholm to Paris, 3 days in the heart of St. Petersburg from $57.72 per person. Includes air from Vancouver, overnight Stockholm, prepaid gratuities, and more. Call me for details, 250-384-8100. Hi, I'm Rhonda from Cruise Experts Travel. Call me, 250-384-8100, your local Oceania expert.
Friday. The quest for international hockey supremacy begins with 16 teams vying for the 2012 World Hockey Championship. It's more than a medal on the line. Rankings for the Sochi 2014 Olympic Winter Games hang in the balance. With national pride at stake, will Canada step up to the challenge? The 2012 World Hockey Championship begins Friday at 6 a.m. on TSN.
It's 11:30. This is Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
The news begins right now.
Overcast and up to 11 degrees downtown. Good morning. I'm Kyle Reynolds. Well, you're walking along the beach and maybe you stumble on something strange. It could have Japanese writing on it. Maybe it's a journal or an artifact. Well, the Maritime Museum of BC is hoping you'll take a picture of it and upload it to their Facebook page. The museum has launched a project to get items that may have washed ashore here from the Japanese tsunami back to their owners. Tsunami Debris Project Coordinator Linda Funk discusses their plans.
Right now we have a Facebook page, and so if you search under Facebook for Tsunami Debris Project, Maritime Museum of BC, that's our page. So even though there might not be lots of debris coming ashore right now, that when it is expected in 2013, that people will be familiar with us already, and they'll be able to use our site when they're out on the beach, and they can upload photos to us.
Funk was speaking yesterday afternoon with CFAX's Ryan Price. The Sioux Community Hall celebrates its 75th anniversary today. The Sioux Community Association says their group was formed in 1935 because of the need for a community hall. Volunteers started on the hall the next year, and the doors were officially opened in 1937. An open hall featuring food samples, games, and demonstrations is being held from 1 to 5 o'clock this afternoon. It's followed by a Sioux Lions Club dance tonight at 8 o'clock. And the BC Court of Appeal has ruled a Vancouver newspaper reporter will not be forced to reveal confidential sources. As James Lewis reports, the ruling comes after a lawsuit was brought forward by a former member of parliament.
In October of 2007, the province newspaper ran a story detailing alleged electoral corruption involving then West Vancouver Liberal MP Blair Wilson. The article, written by reporter Elaine O'Connor, used a confidential source. Wilson then sued, demanding O'Connor reveal who had leaked her the information. O'Connor refused, though, with a BC Supreme Court judge later ordering her to name the source. The newspaper appealed that ruling, with the decision now being reversed. After the allegations came forward, Wilson was dropped as a Liberal candidate, running and losing as a Green candidate in 2008. James Lewis, Vancouver.
After the news at 11 o'clock this morning, we called the number listed for the McKinnon residence. Still no correct answer, though, for our newsmaker question. So after the news at noon today, our prize will be $222, and that's brought to you by the Renaissance Retirement Residence, The Art of Living Well. And CFAX 1070 weather now, mainly cloudy today. Still a chance of showers in the forecast. High of 13 degrees. We're stuck at 11 right now. Mainly cloudy overnight with another 30% chance of rain. Overnight low of about 8 degrees. And tomorrow shaping up to be a mix of sun and cloud with more cloud than sun. Later on in the day and early into the evening, high of 13 degrees for Sunday. I'm Kyle Reynolds. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070. It's 11:33.
Now, Straight Talk. Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
We are back in the studio with Chef Teresa Carl Sanders. Mylon Dills is here because she wants to hear what Lorna Vanderhaeghe has to say, because Lorna always has great information. She's on usually every month, and we've covered many topics. Today we're going to talk about fertility and infertility, maybe hair loss, iron, whatever we can have time for. Welcome to the show again, Lorna.
Thank you so much for having me.
How are you?
Excellent.
Good. How did your trip to Victoria go?
Oh, fantastic. We had about 220 women that came out, and it was excellent. We talked about hormones and bioidentical hormones, so it was very good.
And I think these are things we were talking, Teresa and I, on the break. You know, for women, there's so many different issues we need to address. And sometimes we don't have the time with the doctor, or they don't have the time to give us all this information. And you're a great source of that for us. Fertility and infertility. I think yesterday was the last day. It was a week, sort of awareness week for that.
It was Fertility Awareness Week across the country. And, you know, we have one in six women, young women today, that are of childbearing years that cannot get pregnant. We call them infertile. And I think there's a lot of misinformation out there, and a lot of young women are heading into fertility treatment clinics without really understanding that there could be some other underlying reasons for their infertility. And doctors need to remember that if people have subclinical low thyroid, so that means you may get a normal thyroid test, but it may be not optimal, And as a result, you can't get pregnant and you have recurring miscarriages. And, you know, there's a huge difference between how we treat infertility in Canada versus the U.S. If you went to a fertility clinic in the U.S., they would not even begin fertility treatments until your thyroid-stimulating hormone levels were below 2, because the research is quite clear that women who have a TSH, a thyroid-stimulating hormone test, above 2 can have recurring miscarriages, their fertility rates drop dramatically. So think of all the women in Canada that are spending all this money and going through all this anguish, because it is very, very distressing when you finally get pregnant and have a miscarriage, or you can't get pregnant at all, who really shouldn't even be in fertility clinics until we get their thyroid sorted out.
Right. And there's other things also. Women or girls start birth control earlier. Low iron. There's so many different things we have to address. Tell us about those.
Well, definitely the birth control pill is an issue, because what we're seeing today is a lot of 13, 14, and 15-year-olds being put on the birth control pill to treat things like acne, or being put on the pill to regulate periods, which, of course, we know the pill doesn't regulate periods.
At least that's what they tell their moms.
Yeah. Well, no, most of these girls are actually going on it for these reasons,
yeah.
Because you go to the doctor for acne, and they're like, oh, we'll just put you on the pill. Mm-hmm. We have to understand how the pill works. It stops you from ovulating. You don't pop out eggs every month. So if you go on it at 15 or 16 or 17 or even 20, and you don't come off until you're 32, 33, 34, you have not ovulated for over a decade. And then we think that the body is going to spontaneously start popping out eggs again. And for many, many women, this does not happen, and their fertility is affected.
It's amazing, isn't it, Lorna, how many times we just blindly say, yes, that's fine. When I grew up, there were so many people on tetracycline for their skin and forevermore. And no one ever questioned any kind of authority. It was just, yeah, you go on this pill.
It's true. Well, and, you know, I tell people, we're so fortunate today. We have the internet. You can go to every drug company and read the side effects of the drug that you're prescribed. And I talked to a gentleman yesterday with high blood pressure, and he was telling me about his high blood pressure. And I said, yeah, and I bet you really hate the high blood pressure medication because it causes impotence or erectile dysfunction. And he looked at me with these big eyes, and he said, is that why I'm having this problem? And his doctor or pharmacist had never told him it was a side effect of the drug. And so I said to him, I said, but you're a smart man. Before you take a drug, go read every single side effect that can happen to you, so that if you start getting them, at least you know, hey, it's not in my head. I'm not having a problem with my sex life. It's a problem with my drug.
Yeah, and that's not something most men will go even address, right?
No, because they're embarrassed. They don't want to go into the doctor's office. So here's this poor man who's been suffering with this problem when he doesn't need to. And I think a lot of the infertility we're seeing today, because I watched the research, and there's not a lot of research being done to see if you put someone, I mean, is a drug company going to study whether or not their drug, after you take it for 15 years, is reducing your fertility? They're not going to study that. It's a terrible side
Just remember, effect. See Lauren at the drugstore? Careful, she might tell you something.
Yeah, maybe they are, but I've been researching it quite heavily because we're doing a lot of work in our office with infertile couples.
You sure have a lot of information. So if people want to know more about that, before we move on to the next thing, how do they contact you, Lauren, if they want to know more about that? Because I'm sure there's lots of our listeners right now who are in that position.
They can go to the website, which is hormonehelp.com, so the word hormone and the word help, H-E-L-P.com. We have a forum where people can ask me questions directly. They can talk to other women. They can share their stories. You know, and low thyroid is an issue for getting pregnant. Being on the birth control pill way too long could be a problem. May not for some. They may spontaneously ovulate afterwards. I think it's the people we're putting on the pill at 14 when the body is learning how to ovulate who don't come off till they're 35 that are having the problem.
That's great advice. And when we come back, Lorna, let's talk about hair loss and iron as well, because everything's kind of interrelated. Back in a minute with Lorna.
When news breaks, Victoria turns to CFAX 1070. News, weather, traffic. When you need to know. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Have you been living with a water entry problem in your basement or crawl space? Have you been reluctant to deal with it because you saw the mess and heard the cost next door at your neighbor's? Well, Earth Service Drain Master has been solving water entry and drainage problems economically for 32 years. Trust our drainage team to restore, repair, or renew your existing system back into working condition. Call Earth Service Drain Master at 250-479-0195. We will be glad to arrange a visit and assess your problem.
If your garage door is hockey puck dented, warped, sagging, difficult to open, now is the time to get a new one at Harbor Door. Come to their Clopay Spring Savings Event. Receive up to $125 in factory rebates on a new Clopay garage door. Add a new LiftMaster opener and receive an additional $15 off. Improve the look of your home. Visit the Harbor Door Showroom at 210 Mary Street and online at harbordoor.com. Celebrating 25 years in business.
Harbor Doors!
CFAX 1070 has never sounded better. Our new Listen Live player gives you high-quality sound at home, at work, on your handheld device. A sleek new look with all the details of what's coming up. Plus, it's like your own digital PVR for radio. Pause, fast forward, rewind, never miss a thing. We've also included a live feed of our headlines, so you can stay on top of all the latest news. There's a Twitter stream as well. Have a look and listen for yourself at CFAX1070.com.
Monthly bills. We've all got them. And sometimes we don't have the money to pay them. So it's important you get the lowest payment possible. At Galaxy Motors, getting you the lowest monthly car payment they can is their goal. Galaxy Motors makes 12 different banks compete to give you the lowest monthly payment. And the reality is, you can have the new pre-owned vehicle you want. Galaxy Motors, changing your perception of monthly car payments with the best rates possible. Visit galaxymotors.net.
Oh, Corey, I love those tunes. I'd had this plane today. The thrill is gone. I said, are you trying to tell me something? Anyways, in the studio we have Chef Teresa Carl Sanders of Island Villas. On the phone we have Lorna Vanderhaeg. Lorna, I think, you know, you give such good advice, and I'm sure we had a lot of, as Oprah would say, aha moments in the listening audience today with people that are exactly that age group that can relate to being on the birth control that long and also to the impotency, that stuff that people never talk about, and now they have some answers. Another thing, iron. That's something a lot of women go through, like this age in life, maybe have heart palpitations, a lot of things going on, hair loss, and don't know maybe it's to do with iron.
Right, because there's this misinformation about iron out there. Our doctors think that the only people who need iron are women who are menstruating and maybe babies after breastfeeding has stopped, but that's about it. And yet, they did a new study 2 years ago where they found that the average iron consumption in the diet has dropped so dramatically because people are switching their diet away from red meat. They're not eating egg yolks. As a result, we don't get iron from vegetables. It's virtually impossible. So the main sources of iron are found in meats. And if you're reducing meat consumption, and, you know, we have kids who don't even like meat. So as a result of that, we're seeing the average population, we should be getting 20 milligrams of elemental iron from our diet. And they found that most of us are getting 8. So that means we become iron deficient. You may not develop anemia, but you may become low in iron. And just having low iron, so you're still in the normal range, but it's low. It's close to that level that we call anemia, can cause severe hair loss in women. It's the leading reason for hair loss in women today. And also it makes you tired. It gives you those dark circles under the eyes. But what's interesting is that you don't think as clearly. They found that teenage girls who are iron deficient, that they got worse test scores at school. They couldn't concentrate. And for the elderly, you know, the tea and toast crowd, so if your mom is getting that thinning hair and you know she's just not eating the way she should, her memory loss may be due to the fact she doesn't have enough iron. And that group, nobody wants to test.
Wow, it's so true, so true. How do you build up your iron? Because it's something you can't just get right away in one pill. How do you build it up then to get your stores back to where they should be?
Right. And, you know, part of the problem is our traditional iron supplements that we buy over the counter, they cause terrible constipation. You need to take iron for quite a long time, maybe several months to a year, to rebuild your ferritin. Ferritin is your iron storage. And your hair follicles, those little tubes that your hair grows out of in your head, are full of ferritin. So when your iron storage drops, that's when your hair falls out. So thinking about taking, you know, 300 milligrams of ferrous fumarate for a year and not being able to go to the bathroom for that long is a bit frightening
yeah.
for most people. So, you know, it's the best way to increase iron is through iron supplements. And thankfully, you can go to the health food store and buy liposomal wrapped iron, which is iron wrapped in a little bubble. so that it doesn't affect your digestive system at all. You don't get constipation, no nausea. You can take it with drugs. You can take it with vitamins. And it tastes like Bailey's. So it's so delicious.
Tastes like Bailey's. Wow.
It tastes like Bailey's. Well, some people say Werther's candies. But it raises hemoglobin and particularly ferritin very quickly within 3 months. And you only need 10 milligrams of elemental liposomal wrapped iron in order to raise ferritin, so you don't have any of the digestive problems.
And as you get older, is it something that, you know, I had a few heart palpitations. My sister-in-law was the one who said, maybe it's iron.
Yeah.
And it's something the doctors kind of, you know, kind of sometimes can raise their eyebrow like, oh, well, you know, maybe not test you for that. But it's probably pretty common, isn't it, at a certain age in life that we all have a deficiency there?
Well, we see a lot of iron deficiency now in kids. We see it in the teenagers. We see it in women in the perimenopausal years because their periods get heavy. Too heavy periods, and you're most likely anemic.
Oh.
So if your hair is thinning out, it's probably because of that. And then we definitely want to treat those heavy periods because otherwise we're just trying to play catch-up with the iron, because every time you have another menstrual cycle, you become more and more and more deficient. For myself, I ended up with a ferritin of 5. Now, ferritin should be, in order to make sure you don't lose your hair, should be somewhere around 40. So with a ferritin of 5, I was going bald, and I kept going to the doctor saying, look at my hair. Oh, it's just a normal part of aging. And when I studied it, I went, this is not normal. This is iron deficiency, or I had anemia, so anemia of the worst kind, and I would have literally lost all my hair if I wouldn't have started to really deal with the whole issue.
Lorna, if people want to get a hold of you, you have books, you have supplements, you have the website. How do they do that?
They go to hormonehelp.com, and it's the word help, not health. And if they go to Hormone Help, they can contact me there. And if the answer comes with my picture attached, it is me answering the question. I have lots of books on the website for free, and we do a lot of fertility counseling. We have so many baby pictures in our office from women who just simply could not get pregnant that finally did.
Well, that's a ray of hope for a lot of people, I'm sure, because you know, there's got to be another way around these things, and you're finding that for people. Thank you, Lorna, and we'll talk to you again next month. Always great information.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you. Great talking to you. Right now, we're going to switch gears completely. Teresa, you love to travel, I know.
I do.
And so does our next guest, Catherine Gibson. How are you, Catherine?
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, just fine, thank you.
Excellent. Now, Catherine, you know, is an author. She's done many, many things, and she's a world traveler. And your latest adventure, Catherine, was to Pennsylvania and Amish country.
Yes, my husband and I took a trip down there and had a great time.
Now, Amish, I saw the Anderson show yesterday on CTV and talking about, you know, he thought that way of life was so lovely and, you know, looked so wonderful. Was it peaceful, or is it strange to watch? Like, what is it like being down there?
Well, it was quite a shock. I mean, like a number of people, I'd heard that the Amish kind of held back living the way that they did, you know, before mechanization. And it's still that way. So hearing about it and then seeing it, it's quite a different thing. We were staying in a small cottage that overlooked a farm that was farmed by an Amish family. And in the evening, as the sun was going down, this farmer was on his tractor being pulled by horses and busy plowing, and he was getting his fields ready from sun up to sundown. Very, very lovely. And throughout the countryside, you could always tell which farm was Amish, because there would be no cars in the driveways. There was always clothes on the clothesline, because, of course, there's no mechanization. There's nothing with electricity that in their homes. They don't have the telephone. They have none of those things. So you'd see these billowing clothes out on the lines, and absolutely immaculate, picture-perfect farms.
It sounds like a movie set or something. Like, you must have felt like you were kind of in a theme park.
Well, it did. It felt like we were in a movie. And, you know, you'd go along the roads, and where we have bike paths, they have buggy paths. The Amish will have these buggies, and they're pulled by these beautiful horses, really lovely horses, and they go at quite a clip. So these buggies are sort of going along beside you. And one of the fun things that we had was going off to the library, and where there's a car park, there's also stalls for the horse and buggies.
So, oh, that's wild. We come back, we're going to talk a little...
Like 60
1800s meeting the 21st century.
Wow. And we're going to talk about getting silly in Philly because there's two sides to the story. Back in a minute.
Hello.
Hey, you up for lunch today? The usual place?
Osaka Sushi?
Don't say it out loud.
I don't think anyone's listening.
You don't know that.
Some secrets are worth keeping, like Osaka Sushi on Oak Bay Avenue. Sushi, sashimi, yakitori, tempura, daily specials, the perfect place for a business lunch or a fun dinner, just minutes from downtown.
Spicy tuna and avocado roll, yeah!
Osaka Sushi. Drop by today. The food is good. The parking is free. 1951 Oak Bay Avenue, one block shy of Fowl Bay Road.
The FAF Celebration of Style event is on now at Sawyer Sewing Center. Sewing machines starting at $249. Sergers from $399. Purchase the heavy-duty FAF Limited Edition Select at $499 or the Limited Edition Expression at $1099 and receive a free FAF Anniversary Kit. All sewing machine cabinets on sale. Financing available OAC during the Celebration of Style event at Sawyer Sewing Center.
Sawyer Sewing Center.
On Douglas across from Uptown. 85% of Canadians think that organ donation is a good thing. 14% of Canadians are registered donors. Pretty tough math. I'm Al Farabee. Every year, thousands of Canadians wait for hearts, kidneys, lungs, livers, intestines, skin, corneas, and bone marrow. They wait and they wait. Sometimes they're lucky. Sometimes they run out of time. Be a donor. Save a life. Learn more at davidfosterfoundation.com. Proudly supported by CFAX 1070.
Level Ground Trading. Local, direct, delicious.
What does being local mean to you? My name is Stacy Taves, and I co-founded Level Ground Trading 15 years ago. We embody what it means to be local. We're a zero-waste facility sending nothing to Heartland, utilizing 13 streams of recycling and compost. We pay our staff to cycle to work on the peninsula, and we sponsor hundreds of local nonprofit groups each year. That's what being local means to me.
Every morning that includes a run and a fresh coffee sounds awesome to us. We'll see you and thousands of others at the TC10K on Sunday morning.
We are back in the studio. I have Chef Teresa Carl Sanders from Island Vittles. On the phone, I have Catherine Gibson, who has just been traveling to Amish country and to Philadelphia. And you had a question because you heard something about Walmart.
I did. I've heard that there's a Walmart that's that targets the Amish people and that there's actually a kitchen section with all these accessories that have no electrical power required. Did you see that?
No, I didn't, but I wish I had. I suspect that the Walmart was in Lancaster, which is the largest city in the Amish area.
Okay.
And I can tell you one thing, they have some great designer outlets there.
It seems so strange, right, to have this, you know, such a mix with Amish and then a Walmart and designer areas and malls and stuff. But how do the people interact with them? Do they fit into the lifestyle or are they quite separate?
They business wise, you know, they're trying to sell you quilts that they make and that sort of thing. So they're very entrepreneurial. But other than that, they pretty much stick to themselves. And that whole area around Lancaster in Lancaster County, which is just south or just east of or west of Philadelphia, is Amish country. And for instance, we were in a very small, beautiful little town called Lidditz. And we wanted to buy some beer, so we went into a store and said, "Where's your liquor store?" There wasn't one in the town.
Oy.
You know, I mean, it was a good sized town, good enough size to have
wow.
a Walmart. Certainly, there was no liquor store. So you find there's the Amish, the Mennonites, and the Moravians. So it's a very religious area. And you do see it, but they keep to themselves. They're not interested in converting people or proselytizing. They marry within their own community, and that's what they do. You know, they kind of keep their culture very pure.
Well, it sounds like a great trip because you can really have the two vacations. So then you got silly in Philly, and tell us about. You say it's a funky town. Tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, Philadelphia is just a fabulous, fabulous place. Anybody wanting to know anything, there's a good website called visitphilly.com, and I suggest people check that out. We stayed right down in the heart of old Philadelphia, which I suggest people do. A wonderful, eclectic community, terrific Italian community, if people like Italian food like we do. Some of the oldest Italian restaurants in North America, so I just can't say enough about that. We were just over the top with the culture there. There's a beautiful new concert hall called the Kimmel Center. We got last-minute tickets to hear the Philadelphia Symphony, and the guest pianist was playing Bartok, and he had just played at Carnegie Hall. So we were pretty thrilled to be there. Music is all over the place, fantastic theater, and of course then there's the art. The Philadelphia Art Museum was holding a special Van Gogh exhibition, which I believe is coming to Ontario later. Incredible paintings of Van Gogh's last 4 years. Really an exceptional exhibition among hundreds and hundreds of fabulous paintings. Rembrandt's, Rodin, Rubens, and on and on it goes. So much there.
And what's the history? There's a few important things that have happened in Philadelphia. Benjamin Franklin being
one.
Well,
Benjamin Franklin, and certainly you can go around and see everything that's happening there. The Liberty Bell is there. The Constitutional Hall, where the Constitution of the United States is signed, was there. Betty Ross's house. I mean, really, it's the birth of America. And Virginia, the state of Virginia, likes to claim the same, idea that they kind of started the American way. But we really did feel that, you know, this is where it all happened.
It's funny, though, that New York gets all the you know, it's very close. But Philadelphia sounds like a great place to go to that would be really different if you've been to New York a few times. Try this out for a change.
New York and Philadelphia, you know, Philadelphia is set about 2 hours from New York and 2 hours from Washington, D.C.
Wow.
And it's kind of like Victoria being in the shadow of Vancouver. There's so much charm in Philadelphia. The shopping, the restaurants, the music. We were in a bar.
Monk's Cafe.
And, you know, it's one of the oldest beer bars in North America and one of the finest. I mean, we're talking Belgian, you know, really select beers, Belgian Trappist beers, and some of the, it's just incredible what's going on there in the food scene.
You'd like that, Teresa. Look, frog legs, grilled scallops, mussels.
Yeah. I mean,
that sounds wonderful.
Very diverse.
And good beer. That sounds great.
Oh, yeah, really, they gave me their thing called the Beer Bible, the Monk's Bible. And it's one of the top, this place is considered one of the top five places in the world to have a beer. And we just happened upon it, you know.
Isn't that the cool part?
That's
and,
great.
Had a hard time leaving.
Now, are you going to be doing more travels and letting us know about them, Catherine?
Well, we did. You know, maybe another time, Patty, we can talk about D.C. We also went down to Washington, D.C., and we checked out all the Smithsonian exhibitions there and some of the art scene there. And
let's do that. Why don't we...
Michelle Obama's inauguration dress.
Let's do part two. Also, you know, Catherine has lots of books. People want to know more about you, Catherine. How would they do that?
I have a website. It's just CatherineGibson.com.
I still use your clutter tips.
Oh.
I'm always working on it, Catherine.
Good. I'm glad to hear that, Patty.
Great talking with you. And you paint a great picture of Philadelphia and the Amish country, and I'm sure people will be taking a trip there. Teresa, wonderful to have you on. Catherine,
thank you
as always. Corey, thank you for the fine music today, too. It was great. Until we meet again. Also, one more thing. David Foster Foundation, they've got the big concert coming up. If you want to help support a great cause without any pain and lots of gain, make sure you buy some tickets to the David Foster Great Gala coming up May 5th, 25th, and 26th. Talk to you soon. Get out there and enjoy.